Joining the show right now, Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. And I'll start with last night's Warriors game. Obviously, the Warriors won big. How much stock do you put in a game one like that, that this trend can continue of the, you know, the Warriors essentially being the better team, obviously, throughout the whole series?
I picked the Warriors to win the series, although I think it's going to be a long, hard-fought series. It's likely to go seven games. Golden State played tremendously well last night, especially defensively, what they were able to do to a Dallas team that really got rolling late in the series against Phoenix in the last round. For the Warriors to hold the Mavs to 87 points and only 23% from the three-point line, I thought their defense, especially on Luka Doncic, was outstanding. But Dallas will adjust. One of the adjustments I'm looking for the Mavs to make is defensively, maybe not be quite as aggressive. I think that's something that Dallas did very well against Utah and Phoenix, their first two opponents, was really blitz the ball handlers, get into passing lanes and get deflections and steals. Golden State, as you guys know, handles that better than any team in the league with the slips and the back cut. So I think Dallas will come with a slightly different approach to tomorrow night in Game 2. I think they'll be a little less aggressive defensively and maybe on the other end more equipped to handle what the Warriors throw at them defensively.
Ryan, what do you see from Andrew Wiggins, not only last night, but in the playoffs overall? He's come up so huge in so many different ways, sometimes scoring, but often just defense, hustle, grit, rebounding, all of the little things that help balance this team. What did you think of his game and his assignment last night and how the Warriors deployed him?
He was tremendous, and he did something that Dallas's first two opponents, the Utah Jazz and Phoenix Suns, have not been able to do, and that's slow down the great Luka Doncic. I think, you know, Wiggins, guys, it's important to keep in mind that he's still just 27 years old. It seems like he's been around forever and been in the spotlight forever, going back to his time as the number one high school player and then the 1 year at Kansas and top pick in the draft. That was 8 years ago, but still, he's just coming into the age where most players start to peak and reach their prime. So I'm happy for the young man. He's obviously faced a lot of criticism throughout his career in terms of living up to expectations, but he's really found a home and a role on this Golden State team that suits him. And if he can be a dominant two-way player, they don't need that, but if he can be a very good two-way player and contain Luka Doncic on the defensive end, Golden State has more than enough firepower not only to win this series, but to win the NBA championship as well.
Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough joining us on 95.7 The Game. What do you expect as the series kind of moves along? And the reason I ask you that is because you could kind of make a case that at least against Denver and Memphis, the Warriors played their best basketball earlier in the series. Do you look at the Warriors as a team with veterans where the longer the series goes, the more maybe Dallas has an advantage?
I don't think so because of Golden State's depth. I think they have better depth than Dallas does. I mean, they bring some pretty talented players off the bench, led by Jordan Poole, who's becoming one of the breakout stars in this year's playoffs with his explosive scoring ability. And one of the things on the other side of that argument that I worry about a little bit from Dallas's perspective is the more games they play, the longer these series go, with the load that Luka Doncic has to carry, does he individually get worn down? And then if he gets worn down, Dallas is not the same team. He has to carry a very heavy load for them offensively in particular. But I do think the series will shift in Game 3. We'll see what happens in Game 2 in San Francisco. But in Game 3, when they get back to Dallas, if you go back and watch the three games in Texas against the Suns in the last round, Dallas was dominant. They played with more confidence, especially their role players, Dorian Finney-Smith, Maxi Kleber. They played with energy. One other thing to keep an eye on, guys, and maybe you've seen this more definitively than I have, but it seems like the Mavs have intentionally not ruled Tim Hardaway Jr. out for the season, even if not out for the playoffs, as far as I've seen. So the longer this goes, that is a possibility. I wouldn't say it's probable. Obviously, the Mavs are keeping it pretty tight-lipped, but if this were to go a while, or if somehow Dallas able to get past Golden State and play for the NBA title. I'm just curious as to why the Mavs haven't ruled Hardaway Jr. out for the year, and to me, it seems like they're leaving the door open a crack for him to potentially return.
Ryan, how do you parse out the Mavs shooting last night? We were kind of going back and forth. Is it open looks that didn't fall? Were the shots maybe not as good as meets the eye? And how do you kind of reconcile the defense of the Warriors, which was good, but early in the game, the Mavs couldn't hit a thing?
Yeah, the numbers would tell you, looking at the analytical shot tracking data, that the Mavs miss some open shots. That I don't know if I anticipate that they'll shoot the ball as well as they did against Phoenix, where especially late in that series, Game 6 and 7, they really shot the lights out, and they did it for, actually Games 3 and 4, they shot the ball well in Dallas also. I don't know if they'll shoot quite that well, but I'm fairly confident over the course of a 7-game series they won't shoot as poorly as they did last night, where some of those shots by the eye test and the numbers were open or defined as wide open with not a defender in sight. So that's something that Golden State would have to be prepared for, that Dallas will shoot the ball better the rest of the way. But for me, guys, it really starts with one thing against Dallas. If you can, I'm saying contain, because you're not going to contain Luka Doncic, but if you can somewhat neutralize him or slow him down a little where you don't need to rotate a second or third defender, I think that's the way to beat the Mavs. That's something Phoenix did a great job of in the first two games last round here in Arizona. The Suns, I thought, their mindset seemed to be let Luka go. If he can score 40 or 50 or however many points, that's fine. We'll limit the role players and the shooters, and they did that. But they weren't able to do it the last five games of the series. Like I said, that series really shifted when they got back to Dallas. So that's something Golden State, Steve Kerr, and his staff will have to be prepared for as we look ahead to Game 3.
Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough joining us on 95.7 The Game. Ryan, can you compare, obviously Jason Kidd, we've heard a lot about how he made Dallas a better defensive team than they had been this year. Memphis obviously was a team with some length and quickness on the perimeter. Can you kind of compare Memphis's defense with, and the challenges it may have posed to the Warriors, as opposed to Dallas's defense and what it might pose to the Warriors?
Good question. I think the bigs on Memphis are maybe a little more traditional. Certainly Steven Adams, when they play Adams, a little more traditional lineup. I guess Jaren Jackson Jr. is more of a modern, versatile big man, as is Brandon Clark. Those guys have some athleticism. But I bring it up because Dallas doesn't play anybody. They have the big Boban Marjanovic on the bench, but the rotation, Dwight Powell and Maxi Kleber, those guys are relatively nimble. They move their feet pretty well in space defensively. They are not rim protectors. They are not vertical lob threats. That's the what you give up. But when Kleber is on the court in particular, they have a lot of shooting and spacing, and you have to account for that defensively. So different matchups. I do think, in some ways it benefits Golden State, and that's one of the things that, if I were a Mavericks fan watching the game last night, I'd be concerned, because I thought Dallas's defense was excellent against two pick-and-roll heavy teams, the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns, in the first two rounds. Well, as you guys know, the Warriors don't run a lot of pick-and-rolls. A lot of their screens are off-ball movement, ball movement, player movement, and then they're great. They're the best team in the league as far as going backdoor for those slips that are demoralizing, frankly, when you're on the other end, when they get those back cuts for dunks and layups. So I think that's something Dallas has to contend with. They can't play the same similar aggressive trapping defense against Golden State. I think Steph Curry in particular has seen that so many times, where teams double him, trap him, try to get the ball out of his hands, and Golden State has probably the best playmaking big man in the league in Draymond, and so when you get the ball to Draymond and he's playing 4-on-3 behind the defense after a double on Curry, that really opens things up for Golden State. So it's a tough position for Jason Kidd and his staff to be in. Golden State is dealing from a position of strength because they have a number of ways to attack Dallas defensively. And as I mentioned, I just don't think Dallas can be as aggressive as they were in their first two series.
Ryan, do you see Dallas potentially putting Dinwiddie in the lineup and maybe taking Powell out and just running with Finney Smith and going super small? You think that's something they got in the arsenal?
I don't think so, because I think they really struggle rebounding and at the rim in that scenario. I think that the change that they're more likely to make is less Powell and more Kleber, because Kleber gives them the floor spacing element and can move his feet okay and gives you a little bit of size in defense. I just think against that lineup they'd be too small and get beat up, because Golden State, I mean, they're everybody says they're smaller, but those, they have a bunch of long athletic dudes, and we saw that last last night with the number of deflections they got, the steals and blocks. They had 8 steals, 7 blocks. So really their activity and length is something to behold, especially when they start flying around. So I'd be surprised if Dallas went super small. I think the more likely adjustment, this is one they made in the last series against Phoenix, is Powell comes out of the game quickly, Kleber goes in, and they have Draymond or whoever the defensive big is for Golden State have to guard Kleber on the perimeter, which opens things up offensively, and then defensively they feel like they have enough flexibility and switchability to contain the potent Warriors attack.
Ryan, thank you as always. Really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
All right. That was Odyssey NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. All Odyssey Insider calls are presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.